this morning to Exodus chapter 2. The title of my message today is Jochebed and Moses. You all know who Jochebed is, don't you? And you certainly know who Amram is. Well, if you don't, you're going to learn about it today. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, and there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." In this passage of Scripture, we find the birth and the life of one of the most remarkable people recorded in the Bible, and for that matter, in all of human history, and especially in Israel's history. Moses was born into the priestly tribe of Levi. He had godly parents, and their names are recorded in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, Amram and Jochebed. Moses is one of the few characters in the Bible whose life story is told from beginning to end. I think that's pretty fascinating. Moses is one of the most revered and respected men in all of Hebrew history. From Adam until Christ, there was no one who had a greater place of respect than Moses throughout the history of the nation of Israel. I mean, he exceeded Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for all of his leadership and his exploits. It was God who had used Moses to afflict the Egyptians, to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It was Moses who reviewed and received the moral law on Mount Sinai. It was Moses who God delivered all the instructions concerning Israel's civil and ceremonial laws and all the laws pertaining to the sacrifice and the tabernacle worship. Moses was a great man. In fact, all of God's early dealings with Israel were through Moses. This one man acted as a prophet, a priest, and a king for the children of Israel the last 40 years of his life. So we cannot underestimate just how vital Moses is to the history of the nation of Israel. With that said, humanly speaking, Moses would have never achieved such heights of greatness had it not been for the faith of the Jewish midwives and the faith of Jochebed, his mother, and his sister, Miriam. They trusted in a sovereign God, and it moved them, the midwives and Jochebed, it moved them to defy the command of Pharaoh and preserve the infant Moses, son, from the crocodile-infested waters of the Nile River. And how we ought to praise God for raising up such valiant and holy women as those midwives were and as Jochebed was. Now there's some distressing circumstances that led to this whole issue here. Why did she have to hide Moses? Well, as Jim told us this morning, after Joseph died, there arose a new Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who did not know the children of Israel in the sense that he didn't love them, he didn't respect them. And it says in chapter 1 and verse 7, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass, when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land." His plan was to bring them into bondage, make them slaves, and afflict them so that they would not grow as a people. Well, when the affliction didn't work, when he began to put them into hard bondage and demanded that they do the building and all of the work necessary for the pyramids and so on, they kept growing and multiplying. They were God's people. And it says in verse 16, "And he said, when ye do the office," this is an order that was sent forth from Pharaoh, "when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive." And then go on down to verse 22, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now think about this. When the midwives refused to obey Pharaoh, he then began to order the Egyptians, whenever they saw an Israelite woman give birth and they knew it was a son, they were ordered to throw the baby into the river, which was crocodile infested. Now think about that. Think about how distressing, how much pressure there was on these midwives, and yet they feared God rather than the state, what the state had ordered. They feared God more, and they obeyed God. They saved the men children, the infant sons. They saved them alive. And then when that didn't work, the Egyptians literally began to hunt down the Israelites who had just given birth. And they were ordered to throw the babies in the river. Well, Jochebed, Moses' mother, already had two children. An older daughter, Miriam, and Aaron, who was 3 years old at that time. So when she was with child with Moses and heard Pharaoh's decree, her heart must have trembled. I mean, she already gave birth to two children that she loved. And when Moses was born and let out that first cry, Jochebed saw that lovely face of her newborn son, and she determined in her heart to defy the edict of Pharaoh, and she hid Moses for 3 months. And that put herself and her entire family in grave danger, because what do babies do? They cry. Some cry a lot, like Aaron. Now, I can't remember how much he cried. He was such a goodly child. He was the quietest of them all, I guess. Maybe not when he was real young. Josh had, he had gut problems or something. We used to call him, I called him Grunt, because he had like a head. It was like a bowling ball almost. And he'd knit his eyebrows together and he'd grunt when he was in that baby seat. Those were the days there. You know. But you think about how every day the cries of this baby, it would bring stress into the family. Because at any moment, they could have taken Moses away. And she feared God more than she feared Pharaoh. And her heart was filled with such love for her son, she was determined to preserve his life, even if it would cost her her own life. Now, many would argue, and I think the argument is still going on today, why bring a child into a world of such danger and stress and woe? Well, you know, that's always been the human condition. There's always been trouble in the world. And the reason why we value mothers and by the way, every single one of us here were born of a woman. Now, Is that revolutionary? To say that everybody has a mother? Well, ironically, it is in our world today. I've seen clips of congressional hearings where people say that men have menstrual cycles and that men can give birth to children. That's nuts! It's insane. Every one of us have a mother. Now, the circumstances that existed then are not unlike the ones in our day, in our world. I kind of feel like I'm living in a strange land that really is growing more and more hostile to faith and the expression of faith and allegiance to the Word of God and to the God of Israel. I feel like there is a growing hostility against anyone who would dare say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. I feel like we're living in a day where there is increased encroachment by the state, by the government, to infringe upon our freedom of speech, our freedom to assemble and to worship according to the dictates of our own conscience. And I feel like we live in a day where, much like Pharaoh was trying to stamp out the existence of the Jewish nation, I believe that we're living in a time when the world at large is trying to stamp out the name of Christ and the Jewish religion as well. We find that secular humanism, atheism, run rampant, where there's a hatred in many cases for unborn children. We even passed a law in 1973, which recently was overturned, but still there are plenty of states that perform legalized abortion. So the times today are not unlike the times that Jochebed brought Moses into the world. You know, years ago, the Attorney General of the United States was a woman by the name of Janet Reno. Here's how Janet Reno, to give you an idea how far back the antagonism against Christianity goes. This was back in the 80s. And she said, she gave her definition of a cultist. And she said, these are her words, "A cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to a Christian cause, who homeschools their children, who have accumulated survival foods and have a strong belief in the Second Amendment, and who distrust big government." That's just an American. You know, that's what I was raised on. Now we really, you know, I can't say that we went to church that often, but all that should be considered normal among Christians. But we're talking about this attempt to have a hostility and antagonism by the state against Christianity. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the COVID policies issued by our government killed churches, damaged them, where some of them are never going to come back. These are perilous times, dangerous times. And in these distressing times, we need more parents like Jochebed and Amram. Distressing times call for determined faith exhibited by God's people. And we find the determined faith of Moses' mother. How is faith produced? It's produced in the heart of a child of God in response to the Spirit opening their ears to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Someone might ask, how did Jochebed know to build an ark of bulrushes and put it in the Nile River? Now think about this. The Nile River is where they were throwing kids to the crocodiles. How did she know to put that ark in the place where Hebrew boys were being put to death and yet know that God was going to preserve her son by raising up Pharaoh's daughter? The only explanation I can give is that God must have revealed to her His plan for Moses. Moses was going to be one of the most important people in all of Israel's history. God had a hand in this. So I believe God revealed it to her, and she responded to God's Word in faith. She believed in God in spite of the circumstances. And that's what faith is. Faith is taking God at His Word and responding to His promises and making application of His truth. All Jochebed had was the audible voice of God. Now, that would be pretty, you know, have the Lord talk to you? Because He did that in the Old Testament. He talked directly to people. I've never heard His voice. But I believe that we've got something even more reliable. Every word of God is pure. We have all of God's, everything He wants us to know is in the Bible. So we've got a complete record of God's thoughts toward His children. Now, that's all she had, but she believed God. She demonstrated her faith by completely submitting herself and her child to the providence and to the will of God. This is quite an amazing feat. She was putting into practice Proverbs chapter 3 before it was ever written. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. I mean, God's telling her, I want you to take Moses, put him in this ark that you make. And by the way, God used different arks in the Bible to preserve His people against the attacks of sin, Satan, and the world. But she believed God. And then I want you to put that ark of the bulrushes in the river where everybody's taking the babies and throwing them to the crocodiles. Carnal reasoning would say, well, I'll go along with building an ark of the bulrushes, but Lord, you sure you know what you're doing? Putting him in the river where there's crocodiles? The very place of death? But God had instructed her and promised her that He would preserve her son. You know, God has given promises to Christian parents. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I would urge you today, moms, dads, grandparents, put your children in the ark of safety. Believe in God's Word. Act upon His Word. Lead them to Christ. Listen, more important than money, possessions, standing in society, whether somebody's a lawyer, God forbid, a doctor, whatever. You know what's more important? Do they know the Lord Jesus? Have they come to a saving knowledge of Him? And that there's nothing more important than that. Demonstrate your faith in God by obeying His Word and claiming His promises in spite of the carnal reasoning of the world. Well, even though this was implausible, she did just what God had instructed her to do. Made the ark of the bulrushes, put her defenseless, vulnerable, 3-month-old son in that ark. Laid it there at the river's edge and then waited. And a delightful turn of events occurred. I'm not going to read it again, but in verses 5 through 10, God did something so remarkable. He moved the heart of Pharaoh's daughter at this precise time to go down to the river and bathe. On this particular day, at this particular time. Nothing happens by accident. As she was bathing, she spotted the ark of the bulrushes. She told her maids to fetch it. And again, was this blind chance? Or was God ordering all these events? God was orchestrating the events to fulfill His eternal desire and His decree, and to carry out His promise. And in verse 6, when Pharaoh's daughter opened the ark, she saw the beautiful face of Moses. And then God moved Moses to cry. And as his eyes welled up with tears, God moved the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to have compassion on him and to love him, even though she knew she would be defying her father's decree. Think about this. This is how God worked through all these women to preserve the life of one of the greatest leaders in all of Israel's history. She knew what her daddy's decree was, but she loved Moses. Even though she knew he was a Hebrew and that it had been ordered, decreed, that he be killed. And verse 7 is a testimony to Jochebed and her faith. It says, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee, for you?'" How amazing is it that Jochebed told Miriam, "You go down there by the riverside, you observe what's going to happen, and you be there." And sure enough, she saw Pharaoh's daughter go down, fall in love with Moses, and she trots right down there and says, "You know, somebody needs to take care of that baby. Somebody needs to nurse that baby and take care of it." And you know what? She suggested that she find a nurse for Moses. Now, that's pretty courageous on her part. You know, she had to act in faith as well. So you have Jochebed's faith, you have Miriam's faith, you even have the faith of Pharaoh's daughter defying the command of her own daddy regarding Hebrew children. All of this is working in Moses' favor. So it took courage for Miriam to suggest this. And then, one of the most amazing things, turn of events that I just love, because I think God has a sense of humor. All right, you want to kill all these Israelite babies? Okay, you know what? I am going to raise up someone who's actually going to lead all the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And you're going to be responsible for saving his life. In fact, I'm going to make it so Pharaoh's daughter adopts him and then hires his own mother to nurse him, to care for him, to instruct him in the early formative years. How amazing is that story of Jochebed and Moses? Well, she told Miriam to find a Hebrew mother. And you could probably just see Miriam say, "I know just the person. Let me go fetch her." And she went and got her mother, and everything was happening just as God had ordained it and as God had promised it. Put your life in the hands of God. Let Him direct and guide your life. Well, verse 9, "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." Jochebed must have thought, "What a great deal. This is my child, and our enemy is going to pay for me to raise my own child and train him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So Jochebed is brought to Pharaoh's daughter and hired by her to nurse and care for her own child. The rewards of faith are pretty astonishing. And in verse 10, the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Jochebed nursed Moses and influenced his life in the most formative years. And I want you to notice something here. The will of God always supersedes the will of man. Always. It was the will of Pharaoh and the Egyptians to kill Israelite babies. But it was God's will to preserve Moses alive. God turned Pharaoh's plan to murder to one of preservation. The very water where Moses should have died was where Pharaoh's daughter found him and drew him out and delivered him and saved his life. God used Pharaoh's daughter to preserve the very man who would later, that God would later use to deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. Pretty miraculous, isn't it? This lesson of Jochebed, Amram, Moses, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, all those separate pieces, all brought together to bring about God's purpose and plan. A.W. Pink said, God compels Pharaoh to give board, lodging, and education to the very man which accomplished the very thing that Pharaoh was trying to prevent. Thus was Pharaoh's wisdom turned to foolishness and Satan's devices defeated. Humanly speaking, it's this whole saga and story and account is what ultimately led to God giving the moral law to Moses on Mount Sinai to govern not just the Jewish people, but it's a moral code for everyone, moral law. How thankful we ought to be for mothers of faith who honor God, who raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, because when Moses came of age and he remembered the things that he had been taught, God used him as a vessel of deliverance and as a great blessing to the children of Israel. So thank God for mothers and for women. We owe a lot to women. Every one of us have a mom. This is my third Mother's Day without my mom. And, I really miss her. But I've learned to cherish all the things that I loved about her and to remember those things. And it just blesses my heart. My mom was probably the hardest person on me. She was tough. And I'm so thankful that her influence lives on through me. Cherish your moms while you have them, because it's a great blessing. Let's all stand. Thank you.